Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and live from Wilmington, North Carolina, the spooky capital of the East Coast, this is Dr. John Stamey welcoming you to Growing Up Haunted, our brand new show. It's amazing. We've got a great guest tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. So first of all, I want to introduce our co-host, none other than Ryan Trembley, who is the host of Monster Radio. Ryan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very good tonight. How are you, John?
I'm doing well, and we're so glad to have you here. You've got a wealth of experience in the paranormal, and you and I are working on a little project together, and it's a lot of fun. And so anyway, thank you for being here. And from Houston, Texas, the one and only Kyler Smith. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing phenomenal. What's up, guys?
What's up, Kyler?
We're so glad you're here. Kyler is a host of ScaryCast Tuesday, and we're glad to have him here. Now, tonight, Growing Up Haunted is about people who have had paranormal experiences, ghosts, UFOs, or Bigfoot in their childhood. And we've got one of truly my favorite people in the world on tonight. She's our guest. And I cannot say enough good things about her, so I'm going to just shut up and let her tell all about herself. The world famous She Squatcher, Jen Cruz. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
Hi, John and everyone. Thanks for having me on Growing Up Haunted. What a cool name. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. We're so glad to have you here. And since this is really our maiden voyage of a show, I wanted to ask you, tell us about your background. Tell us about you growing up as a kid and having haunted stories. Tell us, please.
All right. So when I was very little, my mom and I moved in with my aunt and uncles in their house, and they put us in the only space they had left, which was in this very dark basement. And it wasn't like what we would call a legal bedroom today, where you have a egress window that's big enough for a big person to climb out of. It was one of those teeny little tiny basement windows that if you were super skinny, you could get out of maybe if there was a fire. And so there was this one teeny little window in this room, but it was so dark in this room. I mean, darker than dark at night. It was so dark. And I remember when my mom would put me to bed, because we'd share this room, my mom and I shared a bed in this room, and mom would put me to bed at night, and I would just be upset if she didn't stay with me, because I did not, absolutely did not want to be in this room by myself, ever, ever, especially when it was dark. And I don't know what the big deal was, why I couldn't have a nightlight or something, but, I mean, it was just always so dark. And I had a thing about the closet. The closet door needed to be shut the entire way. And it had one of those doors that slid back and forth, open and closed, instead of opening like a door swings. This one would slide back and forth. And I don't know what the deal was, but that door was almost never closed all the way. And I swear to you, there was something in that closet that would come, like, mess with me in the dark. I mean, I was so terrified of that closet and being in that room in the dark by myself. And even though I would throw a fit about that door being closed all the way, it would never fail. I would wake up and look, and that door would be cracked open every single time. It would be still cracked open, even though my mom closed it.
Now, Jen, I know exactly what you mean, because I have moved from Myrtle Beach to Wilmington, North Carolina, and I have a closet door, and every morning, don't you think I completely close it? Of course I do. And every evening when I come back, it is ajar. And I know exactly what you mean. That tells me that somebody is here.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
You know, we can't express how much we know that someone is there. So can you tell us a little bit about who you think was there?
Well, you know, at this point in time, I was literally age four. Age four. So, I mean, my memory of it is burned in my mind because I was terrified of this closet and whatever was in the dark. And I would see things in the dark. Now, yes, my mind could be playing tricks on me because you can see things in the very dark, dark that aren't there. But it was always coming out of this closet, and it was always something different and always, always something super scary to me. In addition to that, I developed a really weird fear. Didn't make any sense. Like, all of a sudden, I developed a fear that somebody was going to sneak into the bedroom at night and cut off my head by sawing through the front of my neck.
Whoa.
I know.
Okay.
And I literally lay with my hands over my neck and pile things on top of my neck, hoping to protect myself from getting my head cut off. And it was just, it was a fear that made no sense. I had no reason to ever think about somebody getting their head cut off, much less getting it sawed off from the front. But it was such a very clear picture in my mind that it was going to happen.
Did you have a nightmare about that?
I don't know.
Yes, Ryan, you've got a question.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if maybe, like, when she was a kid, if she had, like, a nightmare that kind of just stuck in her head and that, you know, kick-started that fear.
Possible, because I don't know how that fear started, but it started in that room. In that room. And I would pitch a fit when my mom would get up to leave for work in the morning and I was supposed to stay in bed in that dark room by myself, that she would get up and leave very early in the morning. And it was still dark. And I would pitch a fit. I did not want her to leave. I did not want to have to stay in that room by myself. And I wanted nothing more than to go upstairs where everybody else was, even if I just sat there by myself. But I did not want to stay in that room by myself in the dark. And I was scared to be in there by myself. I was afraid to be in there by myself. And I was supposed to stay quiet and stay in that room and stay in bed and go back to sleep. And I would think of any reason whatsoever why my mom should not leave right now. Like, I used to say I can't figure out what shoe goes on what foot. But, you know, I got to the point where I was like, I don't know what sock goes on my right foot. And I would just have a fit about, you can't know because I don't know which sock goes on which foot. You know, not that socks have a particular foot that they go on, but that was one of the excuses I would use, that she couldn't leave me there. And, that was really hard for me, and I would end up sneaking out of that room as soon as she left, and I would go upstairs, and I would crawl in bed with my cousin. So,
it was safe.
What's that?
All right, well, now Ryan, I'm going to ask you again, do you have another question for her? And then we'll go to Kyler next. So, Ryan, what question do you have for Jen Cruz?
You know, I'm just going to feed off of that nightmare question I asked her. I mean, I wonder if there was, like, something that was relaying imagery into her head to give her this whole feeling that, you know, it was going to chop her head off. I mean, was there anything that ever gave you that feeling that, you know, it's something that, like, something wanted to do that?
I always was seeing things coming out of the closet that were very scary. And sometimes they looked shiny, like they were a metal object, like something that could cut.
So
I mean, sometimes. What's that?
Something was messing with your head then.
Yes, yes. Always something very scary coming out of the closet, very dark, shadowy figures that looked like monsters with metal teeth. And sometimes they had like metal. I mean, it was always something super scary coming out of that closet. And it was pitch black in there. You couldn't really see anything, but yet I was seeing these things coming out of the closet.
Wow. Oof.
Yeah.
Scary.
So that was very scary to me at my aunt's house where I lived with them for 2 years, and this was my room with my mother that we shared.
Wow.
And I always begged, can I just sleep with my cousin? Can I sleep with Dawn? And Dawn and I were 4 days apart in age. Everybody called us the Blondie twins. My mom actually used to dye my hair blonde when I was 4 so that we would look more alike.
Very neat.
So, and my cousin Dawn and I, our moms are sisters, and they had the same due date for when we were going to be born. They were given the same due date for their pregnancies, and they both wanted to have girls, and they both wanted to name their daughter Jennifer. So
wow.
They decided, well, we can't both name our daughter Jennifer. So they made a deal. Whoever was born first got to have the name Jennifer. And so they each picked a secondary name for their baby if they were born second. Well, guess who was born a winner?
the wonderful Jen Cruz was born a winner, and that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And then Dawn was born 4 days later. And I'm so glad because my alternate name was Gretchen.
We're so glad your name is Jen. You're Jen Cruz, and we absolutely love you. And I'll tell you what, for those of you that do not know Jen Cruz, she has been a very wonderful friend. She's just an incredible person. So we're so glad to have you here and sharing this story. All right, Kyler. Do you have a question for the wonderful Gretchen, but not Gretchen, Jen Cruz?
Yeah, parents never seem to believe the kids no matter what, don't they?
No, they didn't. And, you know, I was so convinced that there was monsters in that closet, and my mother never believed me. And no matter how much she told me that there were no monsters in there, I never believed her. It just made me more scared that she couldn't see them. And so
did see something, she still wouldn't have believed you, huh?
Right, right. So I when I grew up and eventually had a daughter of my own and she had monsters in her closet, you know, it was weird because I never thought maybe there actually are monsters in her closet. She was always scared of monsters or monsters under her bed. And who wasn't scared of something grabbing you under the bed, right? I always was. I always was. Well, I would go in stomping into my daughter's room, and I would go in there. I'm going to beat you up. You better get out of here because I'm going to kick your butt. And I would just throw a big fit. And I'm like, get out of here. And then I would chase the monsters away. And my daughter felt good about that. And then eventually other kids' parents would call me and say, I'm going to ask you to come over to our house. And I'm like, what? They're like, apparently your daughter has told my daughter that you beat up monsters and they never come back.
You had Jen evicting the monsters from people's houses. That's kind of cool.
Yes. So, I mean, that was just because my mom never believed me. I decided that I was going to put on a big show for my daughter, and it worked for her. But I really do think that there was something in that closet, because why was the door opening by itself all the time? It was always open. When she would leave, it would all of a sudden it would be open.
So Jen, when you were a kid, do you remember being around your mom when she was watching like horror movies, or did you watch them yourself when you were that little?
Not that little, no. When I got older, we did. We developed a love for them. But honestly,
I was trying to
we were very poor, and we didn't. I don't even remember having TV.
Wow.
It was really cool when we moved in with my aunt and uncle, because eventually, like a year after I'd been there, they finally got a little TV with one of those Atari Pac-Man Pong things that my older cousins would play with, and I would just sit there and could just be in awe of this TV. So I don't know how old you guys are, but I was born in the early 70s, and yeah. So
you said like when you
scary movies at home is not a big thing then. What's that?
You said when you went to sleep, you always closed it, right? And then you woke up and it was open. Did you guys ever try to put anything in front of the door?
It was a sliding sideways door. It wasn't one that opened and closed in and out like that.
So there was no way of keeping this thing from staying shut.
Right. Well, it would just slide back and forth sideways. So I couldn't like put something in front of it to hold it shut because it would just slide back and forth.
Right.
It didn't open
outward
or inward. Yeah.
That's very creepy.
Yeah. And so that's just the first thing. I have got lots more.
Okay. All right. Well, this is Dr. John. And I want to say, please tell us your next story, because I'm sure it's wonderful, and I'm sure it's exciting, and I'm sure it's scary.
Yes. All right, so the next house that we moved into, we actually moved into a basement apartment, and I had absolutely no problems in there, even though we had dark, scary rooms, and I had no fear of that place at all. So that place felt completely ghost-free to me. And we lived there for about, it was first grade to sixth grade, and I had no issues there whatsoever. Then we moved to the farmhouse, and it was the farm in the bottom of a valley, in a wooded valley, and our driveway literally was a hill that you drove down into the valley into. And it was a kind of a steep hill, because in the wintertime I would use a sled and slide down the hill of our driveway all the way down. It was a long. So, I mean, it was pretty steep down into the valley. And we're in this farmhouse. It's a very old farmhouse. It's actually the place where my stepdad grew up. And it was a farmhouse that was heated by a wood furnace that was in the cellar. And then the main floor had a big kitchen, a dining room, a formal dining room, a living room, and a bathroom. And then there was a big stairwell that went upstairs to four bedrooms that were quite large, and each one of them had a walk-in closet. And so there was two bedrooms to the left in the hallway, and in they each had a closet. And then there were two bedrooms on the right side of the hallway, and in between the two bedrooms there was a walk-in closet. They each had a walk-in closet. So I got the bedroom at the top right-hand side of the stairs, and I got to paint it whatever color I wanted. And this was the farmhouse that my stepdad grew up in. And we had built a log house by hand. It took us 7 years of weekends to build this log house. And it only cost $3,500 because we literally cut down the trees, and I peeled the bark off of it myself, and I mean, it was a labor of love that we built for his parents, and then we moved into the old farmhouse.
That's really cool.
So I was really excited to have this big room and a walk-in closet. I mean, it was amazing. And this had a real door that opened and closed, and it was pretty cool. And so I move into the farmhouse, and I get what was my stepdad's sister's room growing up. And his room was on the other side of the closet from my room. So I go into my room, my bedroom closet, and it was a walk-in closet. And then if I went down the hall into the next room, that room had a walk-in closet, and they shared a wall in between, if that makes sense. So when I moved into this room, I started having nightmares. And, you know, a nightmare, what's the big deal? But it was every single night, and I dreamt the same thing. It was always about the same thing, that I would get up and I'd walk into the next bedroom, which was originally my stepdad's room when he was growing up. And like the creep that he was, he kept his room exactly the same. It was never allowed to change since it was like a time capsule of when he was in high school. So that room was always exactly the same. No one was allowed to really go in there. That was his room, and him and my mom shared a room across the hall from me, but not his high school bedroom. That just was like a time capsule of his space. So anyway, in my dream, I would go into his high school bedroom, and I would walk into the closet, and I would move the clothes away from the one side of the closet because it was clothes on both sides. I would move the clothes away, and there was a door behind the clothes. Now, I know that this sounds like a familiar story, the Chronicles of Narnia, about the clothes behind the door behind the clothes in the closet, but I had never heard that story until I was an adult. So this is a weird story for me, because when I saw that story, I was like, whoa, this was my dream, that there was literally a door behind the clothes in the closet. And so I would move the clothes, and I would see the door, and it was like this magic door that would appear and disappear. And if I opened the door, you know, it was always something interesting that I could see beyond the door. But I was kind of scared to go in there. And there was a man who was inside that door who was always trying to coax me to come through the door. He always wanted me to come in the door. And I was so afraid to go in there because I thought he's going to take me and never bring me back. Right? I was convinced he was going to take me and never bring me back. And so, you know, it started out where he was nice and he was trying to coax me into the door, and I would wake up just in a sweat over this, and I would literally get up and I run into that room, into that closet, move the clothes, and sometimes, I swear to you, that door was there when I was awake, and I would gasp and jump back and I'd look again and it was gone. So, I mean, I moved in there the summer before my seventh grade, okay? Seventh grade in high school, junior high. And I had nightmares about that door in the closet and that man who lived beyond the door for every single night that I lived in that house. And they started out where he was nice, and he got weirder and meaner, and he just got so scary. And then sometimes he would take my friends into the door and I'd never see them again, you know, in my nightmares. And it was just, I was terrified of the man beyond the door. And I always called him the man. That was what I called him, the man. Wow. And so I developed a severe case of insomnia where I would refuse to sleep at night. Because I figured out that if I slept during the day, if it was still light outside, I wouldn't dream of him.
Hmm.
So I would come home from school.
Now, Jen, I tell you what. I want to ask Ryan. Ryan has got a question for you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that almost sounds like a prophetic dream. I mean, if it happened over and over and over again, it sounds like something was trying to urge you to do this, like you had some kind of attachment. And that did you ever experience something where an attachment might have come from?
Well, I do think that there was something about that closet and that door, because I wasn't the only one who dreamt of it.
Oh,
so
okay.
When I was in, I think it was probably 9th or 10th grade, my mom and I had a lefse business where we would make these Norwegian pastries for like 3 months out of the year. And so we did nothing but make lefse from the moment I got home from school until we basically dropped at night, and we would make it because it was a big thing that people would eat in the Minnesota in you know, the Christmas time. So we were constantly making lefse to sell.
Hmm.
And my aunt, my stepdad's sister, had come over to help us make lefse. And mom and I were making lefse into the wee hours of the morning because I came home from school, I took a nap, and then I got up and we would make lefse all night. And my aunt was looking at me, and she's like, shouldn't you be getting to bed? Don't you have school tomorrow? I go, yes, I have school tomorrow, and no, I don't sleep at night. And she's like, what do you mean you don't sleep at night? And I go, I don't sleep at night. I sleep after school. And she she's like, you never sleep at night. And mom says she never sleeps at night. And she got kind of weird about it. And she started asking me, why don't you sleep at night? Well, she knew which room was mine. I was in her room, her room that she grew up in. That was her room. It's now my room. And she's like, why don't you sleep at night? And she got real, real serious real quick. And I said, honestly, I have really bad dreams. And she said, about what? And I'm just like, I just have really bad dreams. And she's like, about what? And I said, honestly, about, I said, if you go into Jesse's room, which is my stepdad's name, if you go into Jesse's room and you go into the closet and she, her mouth just drops wide open, right? And she goes, and you move the clothes? I said, yeah. And she said, and there's a door. I'm like, yeah, there's a door behind the clothes in Jesse's room, in his closet.
Whoa.
And she just, she turns pale white, right? And she's just like standing there in shock that she cannot believe what that this is the dreams that I'm having. And I said, how did you know? And she said, I had the same dreams about the man in that, in beyond the door in the closet. And sometimes the door is there. If you look when you're awake, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. And I'm like, yes. And she called him the man too. She called him the man. She said, he terrorized me growing up. She said, I was terrified to sleep. All right.
Whoa.
So that's weird enough. That's weird enough. I just continued sleeping during the day and being up all night. Right. So that's when I started my night owl habit. I'm really a night owl. and that started, and it was because of the man. That was the man. So I move away when I'm 17 years old. I never dreamt about the man again, ever. Because I never slept in that room ever again, right? Except I went home to visit, and my mom had a baby when I was almost 16 years old. So my little sister was born, and she was just a little girl. And I was driving at the time this big white van. Like, you know, when you picture somebody is going to go to the school and try to kidnap a kid in a van, I had one of those vans. You know, you would imagine would be a kidnapper's van. It was given to me by somebody who didn't want it anymore. It was a big piece of rusty crap, but hey, I was glad to have a vehicle that drove. So here I was driving this van, and I was worried about getting out of the, because it was, in the wintertime, it was hard to sometimes drive up the driveway if it was icy because, again, it's a hill that you have to drive up. And so here I drove the van down there, and I was really worried about driving out because was I going to make it, or was I going to have to go pour ashes on the driveway and, like, make a running jump at it? You know, there was a process of getting out in certain types of vehicles. And so I was visiting, and I'm sitting in the kitchen with my mom and my little sister, and I said something about I was worried about getting the van out of the house or getting away in the van, and my little sister thought I said the man, and she just went into complete and utter panic about the when she thought I said the man, but what I said was the van, and she's just having a fit, and I'm like, what is wrong? What is wrong? And now my room, what was my room, was now my little sister's room, okay? So she was supposed to be sleeping in my old room, but she wouldn't. And she ended up having a bed. My mom had to get a twin-size bed and put it into her bedroom next to their bed because my sister refused to sleep in that room.
Wow.
She would refuse. And so literally, they lived there until my sister was, I think, how old was she? You know, she was at least in junior high, and she was still sleeping in a twin-size bed next to her parents' bed.
Wow.
Because she would not sleep. She was terrified to sleep in that other room.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my stepdad was weird, and that other bedroom was his time capsule of high school, so nobody would ever change anything in there or be sleeping in there. So that was the only other room that could be hers, and she would not sleep in that room. And when she heard me say something about my van, or I said the van, She thought I said the man, and she started freaking out, and she's crying. And all she can say is, "Mommy, mommy, the man is going to get Nipper." Now, I was Nipper because she couldn't say Jennifer. She called me Nipper. And she just kept crying, sobbing hysterically, saying the man was going to get Nipper.
Wow.
And that was me. And so she had been having nightmares about the man coming to get me. And I said, "Bridget, where is the man?" And she pointed upstairs. I said, "Show me where the man is. Take me, show me where the man is," because she's just a little girl, right? And again, she was born, I was almost 16 years old. I moved out at 17. So this is happening when I'm like 19-ish. Okay, so she's very little. I go upstairs with her and I say, "Show me where the man is. Show me where the man is." And she's scared and she's crying. I'm like, "It's okay. Show me where the man is." And she's pointing. She's pointing to her dad's high school bedroom. And I go, "Okay, come on, let's go. Where's the man?" And she takes me to the closet and she points to where the clothes are, behind the clothes.
Whoa.
So my baby sister was dreaming about the man in that door beyond the clothes, in that closet.
Oh,
now,
that
me
is creepy.
Being like, I started wondering, is there a man in the wall? So I took out a tape measure, right? I took out a tape measure and I measured the closet on the inside, you know, and then I measured the other closet on the inside, and then I measured the wall on the outside, and I'm like, you know, there's room between those closets. There's room. There could be a room in there. It's like a little one. But, I mean, there was at least 3 feet that was unaccounted for.
Hmm.
And I, you know, I always wanted to, like, take something and hack into the wall, but they wouldn't let me. My stepdad... When I was growing up, my stepdad, you know, because I was always frantic about not wanting to sleep at night, and he would want to make me sleep. And I was like, "Nope, doing it, not doing it." And I told him that I have these nightmares about the man in the wall. And he was like, "You only are afraid of that because you believe in it. You know, stop believing in that crap." And I was convinced that there was a ghost there. I was convinced that there was a man in that wall. So now my little sister, she's terrified that the man's going to get Nipper, which was me.
Mm-hmm.
So but while I was still living there in high school, sometimes my parents would go somewhere and they would leave me home alone, which was fine. I had my own car. I could come and go, whatever. Our house was so old that the door that it was original door, and it had a doorknob with a skeleton key that we didn't have a key for. The only way that you could lock the door is if you had a key to lock it and unlock it, but we never had the key. I don't know if they ever had a key when he grew up there, but we never had a key. We couldn't lock the door. So we had a house that had doors that could not lock. We never had a key. Back in those days, you know, you left your keys in your car with the door unlocked. Nobody ever took it. I mean, that was just how it was. I lived on a farm in the valley. Our closest neighbor was like a mile down the road. And, you know, everybody, even in town, never locked their houses or their cars. They left their keys in the car. Nobody took anything. I mean, that's just how it was. Rural Minnesota, town of 803 people. You know, really, it was very safe. Nothing to worry about, right? So
right.
Here I am, home alone. It's wintertime. And in wintertime, you know, there's in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, you have snow. And at night, in the winter, when it's so cold and there's so much snow, everything is like crystal clear. Like sound is amplified. Every little thing outside makes more noise. I don't know why. The air is crisp and clear. It smells clear. It's just clean. And everything is just, the sounds are just crisp. Everything is crisp. And so if somebody were to drive into the yard, you would hear the snow crackling. You'd hear every little bit of that movement of the vehicle. It was very loud. And my bedroom window, my bed was right up against the window, and I could not only see the lights coming in, if anybody came into the yard, I could hear it so loudly, right? So I'm laying in bed with my dog. My dog is in the bed with me. My cat is in the bed with me. That was the only pets we had in the house. We had a barn, which was across the yard, that had animals in it. But the only animals that didn't live in the barn were both in the bed with me, okay? My parents are gone, and I'm home alone. And the yard light is on, so I can see outside, right? And in the wintertime, light is amplified off the snow, so it's almost like day. I mean, everything is lit up, right? So I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden, it's all quiet. All of a sudden, I heard the outside door open and close. And I was like, what the heck's going on? And then I heard the inside door open and close, because there's like a little porch that had like a regular screen door that would open and close, like a winter screen door. And then the inside door was that old door that had the skeleton key that didn't we never had a key for. And then I heard the inside door open and close. It was a very heavy metal door. And then I heard we had wooden floors, hardwood floors throughout the main floor. I heard a very clearly man's boots walking through the kitchen, through the dining room, into the living room, start to come up the wooden stairs, and then it just stopped. And I'm laying in bed, terrified. Nobody has driven into the yard. Now, my driveway was 3/4 of a mile long, by the way. So nobody has driven into the yard. Didn't hear a soul walking on the snow outside, but all of a sudden I heard the door open and close, outside the door open and close, inside the kitchen, and then walking through the house. We didn't have heat vents in up to the second floor like houses normally have. We just had vents in the floor that were literally just a hole in the floor that had a vent that you could look down into. So every bedroom had a hole in the floor that looked down into the floor below. That was how the heat would come up. And so I'm laying in bed. I've literally pulled the covers up to my chin. And I'm feeling my dog, my cat. And my dog was a beagle, and he was a big wimp. There wasn't anything he was going to do for me. And I'm like, there's somebody in the house. There's a man in the house. And then I heard the boots turn and go back down the stairs. He never came all the way up. He came partially up the stairs. He went back down the stairs, through the living room, through the dining room, paused underneath the vent underneath my bedroom, paused because I was over the dining room, and then he walked out the kitchen. I heard the inside door open and close. I could see the outside door from my window. I watched it open, and I watched it close, and nobody came out. Nobody came out.
Spooky.
I was terrified. Now, the only phone in the house is in the kitchen. And back then, we didn't have cordless phones or cell phones. It was a corded phone that was on the wall in the kitchen. And I was laying there terrified that there's somebody here. And I saw the door open and close, and nobody came out. So I just laid there terrified. None of the doors in our house locked. Terrified. And let's see, I wrote all my little cliff notes of the things I wanted to share with you. So at night when I was a teenager, I wore glasses. And again, it's very dark in the house. I don't know if there was no such thing as night lights because we never had any. And I don't even know if there were night lights back in the day. I don't even know. Maybe you can tell me. I was born in 1972. Don't tell anybody.
I wasn't born yet, but I don't know.
So at night, if I had to use the bathroom, or anytime you had to, there was only one bathroom in the house, and that was off the kitchen. So you had to go down the stairs, through the living room, through the dining room, through the kitchen, and into the bathroom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I would go down into, you know, go downstairs, through the living room, through the dining room, through the kitchen, when I was going through the kitchen, I would sometimes see in the reflection of my glasses a knife coming up behind me like somebody was going to raising their hand up to stab you in the back with a knife. I would see this knife rise up in the reflection of my glasses, that there was a knife behind me rising up. And I would spin around with my arms out like I was hitting somebody who was right behind me, and there was never anybody there.
Cool.
But that happened on multiple occasions. Somebody was coming up. I could see the knife raising up behind me, and I could feel all the hairs stand up on the back of my neck. I don't know, when I could feel that happening, and then I would see this knife in the reflection of my glasses, and I would spin around and like hit whoever was back there, but there was never anybody there. And then I would run in the bathroom and slam the door.
Wow.
And I would just sit in there being scared to leave that room. So that happened a lot. That was many,
Jen,
many, many times.
Jen, I've
and
got a question.
And then, okay, go ahead.
So now, back to your previous story. Was your dog not right next to you and protecting you?
My dog was a really old beagle who had epilepsy and was hard of hearing. And he was not a guard dog whatsoever. Like, he was always scared of everything. So he was laying in bed with me. He couldn't hear anything. He was practically deaf.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I was just wondering, because dogs are marvelous about sensing things that happen. So I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Yeah. So I was home alone one day, and sometimes my mom would go to work in the summer, and she used to work for the college where my stepdad worked, and it was about an hour drive from where the farm was. So they would go to work, and they would be gone for a really long time, and I would take care of the farm. I would milk the cows by hand, and I would make the butter by hand churn, and I would get the eggs because we had 150 laying hens, and I would wash the eggs and get them ready to sell. And I would make the butter and package the butter. And I would have to make supper so that it was ready when they got home. And I would do all the chores, the farm chores. Anyway, I was home alone. It was summertime. It was a beautiful day. And this car drives into the yard. And it's filled with these three little old ladies. And they're looking around, and they're looking, and they're just – and I look out the window, and I'm like, who are these old ladies? And I kind of open the door, and they said, hi. And I said, hi, can I help you? And they said, yes, we used to live here when we were little. We grew up in this house. I said, oh, okay. And, you know, this is rural Minnesota. That happens. People just drive up in, and they're like, hey, this used to be my house. Can I come in? And you let them in. I mean, that's just what you do. Or it was the way it was back in the day. And so they said, can we come in the house and look around? And I'm like, okay. So I let them in. What are these three little old ladies going to do? They look like grandmas, right? So they come in the house, and they kind of look around the main floor just briefly. And they're like, oh, this is new, because the bathroom wasn't there, because when they lived there, it was just an outhouse outside. There wasn't indoor plumbing when they lived there. That's how old the house was. And they went up. They said, can we go upstairs? I'm like, okay, go ahead. And they went upstairs, and they wanted to go upstairs alone. And I guess I didn't see a problem with it. And so they went upstairs, and they were up there for a really long time, really long time. And they weren't making any noise. I mean, this house, you could hear everything. It was hardwood floors. You could hear every step that somebody makes, especially when you're just below them and there's like nothing, no TV on, no radio on. I mean, all you hear is what's in the house. And there's holes in it in the floor of every room up there that go directly down. You know, you hear everything. And they go up there, and they're like, blah, 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 and then they're just silent. And they're silent for a long time. And I'm like, what the hell? So I finally start walking up the stairs, and I get to the top of the stairs, and they come flying out of my stepdad's high school bedroom. And I notice that that's the room that they're coming out of, and that's where they had been. And I was like, are you guys okay? what's going on? And they're like, oh, yeah. And now we're standing in the hallway upstairs outside the bedrooms. And I'm wondering why they were in that room for so long and what were they doing being so quiet in the room where the man's door is. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking. I'm like, why are they in there?
Mm.
And so I was like, this is an opportunity to ask questions because I was convinced that somebody was dead and in that wall. Like, I just thought somebody was buried in that wall or something, you know, that the man wanted me to find his body or something. Like, I was trying to figure out any reason why there would be a man in that wall, in the wall there. And so I asked the ladies, I said, you know, I'm curious. Did anything ever happen here in this house that you know of? And they're like, what do you mean? I go, well, like, did anyone ever die here? And they're like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, who died? And they're like, well, our grandpa died here. And I was like, okay. And then they didn't want to talk about it.
Hmm.
That was about it. And they were like, well, thanks for showing us the house. We really appreciate it. And they were like giggling like little girls about being, and they were just so excited to have been in that room, and they were giggling like little girls. And then they left. And I never even got their, I didn't even get their names or what was your last name or anything like that. I mean, afterwards I was like, well, that was stupid. Why didn't I ask for their, you know, who they, you know, like, what was your last name?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that. I just believed them when they said they used to live there. But that, all they wanted to do was get up in that room because that's directly where they went. And then they were there for a long time making no noise whatsoever. So I started wondering, like, did they know about the door behind the clothes? You know, like, were they coming to check it? Did they go in the door? I mean, these are the things that I was wondering about. Is it some kind of a portal or something like that? Like, these are the things I was thinking about when I was just a teenager. Just a teenager. So, I mean, that, and the weird thing is that when I moved out of that house, I didn't dream about the man or that door in the wall ever again. Never. And I was plagued with nightmares every time I slept in that house at night. And I never dreamt about him again. Never. So, I mean, if it was something in my psyche that was just me, I mean, that couldn't be because my aunt who grew up in that room had those same nightmares about the man in the wall and the door behind the clothes, and my little sister was dreaming it too.
Wow, that sounds like something was definitely trying to communicate with all of you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying, though. I mean, wow, to experience that for all those years, though, oof.
And, you know, I was always sensitive, like I was a psychic kid, but, you know, it scared my parents when I would talk about people dying, you know, because I would say things like, Aunt Gladys just died, and it would just fly out of my mouth. It wasn't a thought first. I would hear myself say it, and then I'd cover my mouth like, oh, my gosh, like it slipped out. And then I would be thinking, oh, my gosh, did Aunt Gladys just die? You know, because I just said, Aunt Gladys just died. And then we'd get the call a few hours later that Aunt Gladys died. And, you know, I was always right. So things like that would scare my parents. I was that creepy kid. And so I was more sensitive to things. And so I think, you know, because when my sister would dream about the man was always trying to get me, she said. The man's coming to get Niffer.
Huh.
And so he wanted me, I guess. So, very, very strange. And it scared my sister enough that she slept in a twin bed next to her parents' marital bed till they moved out of that house. When she
sounds
was
like
a teenager.
Just me and me are sensitive. That's what that sounds
What's
like. That? It sounds like the man knew you were a sensitive, that you could detect things and sense things.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why he was targeting
so,
you.
Yes. I think so too. And, you know, when I got older, in my mid-30s, I started to accept the fact that I had gifts and abilities, and I allowed my sense. I always resisted it. I always tried to push it away. But I actually embraced it and let it open like a flower in bloom. I let it open, and it just cracked wide open this whole world of things that were always right in front of me that I always tried to pretend weren't there. But I embraced it finally, and then it just became my conscious awareness just exploded into this whole other realm of things that are also here in front of us. And with that awareness, my curiosity always wanted me to go back to that house.
I'd be careful.
Yeah. Well, the house is still there. It's just empty now. And I found out who bought it. And the guy died there. He had a heart attack and he died. And he was very young. And I thought that was weird. He was living alone there and he started to rip the walls down. And he was in he was trying to remodel the house, and the house had lath walls, you know, plaster and lath. If you're really young, you probably don't even know what that is. But before sheetrock and paneling, there was something called lath walls, which were little pieces of wood. They were thin and they were long and skinny, and they would be nailed up on the wall. And then they would put plaster on it, and they would make plaster walls, plaster and lath walls. So the wood is the lath, and then there's the plaster that they would put on it. And so he was ripping that down. And the guy's brother then owned the house, the guy who died in the house. When he was trying to remodel, he was ripping the walls down, and he was going to put up sheetrock. And then he died. He had a heart attack and died in the house, which was weird because he was like 40-something. I mean, just weird.
Sounds like maybe he saw something in there too.
Yeah. And so I talked to his brother and I said, hey, I heard you own the house there now. And I grew up there. I'm just wondering if I could go over and just have a look around the house for old time's sake. He says, no, my brother was in the process of remodeling and he ripped all the walls out. And it's really not safe to be walking around in there. And I said, well, what I want to see is upstairs in the closet. And I go, did he rip the wall out of the closet? He said, no, he hadn't gotten that far. He'd ripped all the plaster and lath off the bedroom walls, but he didn't get into the closet yet. That was he was about to do that when he died.
Hmm.
And I asked, can I go in there? And he kept saying, no, it's not safe for you to go in there. And I'm like, please, can I go in there? Please, can I go in there? And he kept saying no, and he won't let me in there.
Wow.
But I really wanted to go and poke a hole in the wall and see if there's a man in there. But, yeah, so it's a mystery. The house is still there.
This sounds like a complete horror movie in itself, yeah.
Wouldn't it be a good movie? Yeah.
I think it would be.
And that's how I grew up. I was terrified of sleeping at night. Terrified.
I can see why, though. Ooh, boy.
Jeez, yeah. And the three old ladies was a red flag.
Yeah, yeah. I always wondered, what were they doing in there? And why were they so quiet? They weren't moving. I would have heard their steps.
Yeah, I'd be wondering what they were doing.
They went up there and they disappeared.
Yeah, it's very odd. It makes me wonder if they knew about them, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they went up there and disappeared because they weren't making any movements. They weren't, like, stepping. They weren't talking. It was like they went up there and disappeared.
Man, I got the goosebumps.
And that's
now.
Why I went up there looking. What are they doing? It was just strange. And, you know, as an adult, I was driving with my stepsister through Minnesota, and I told her, I said, we're coming up on the Cruz farm, because my grandpa Cruz, where he grew up, he would always point out the Cruz farm to me when we drive by it. And I'd been there when I was very, very little. And I told her, there's a room upstairs. There's a room that has a door that's only like 3 feet tall, and the whole room is like 3.5-4 feet tall. It's a big room with full of toys for kids. And, you know, I just thought that was a weird memory that I had because, I mean, they sold the Cruz farm when I was 4 or 5 years old, but I remembered that room with this tiny door, and just it was a kid-sized room. And and so when we were driving through Minnesota, I said, there's a Cruz farm. And I was telling her about this tiny room, and she's just like, okay, Jen, that just sounds weird. And so I pulled into the driveway of the Cruz farm, And I said to Dad, I said, and I'm just like trying to make sure that I'm at the right place. I called my dad. I'm on the cell phone. I'm like, Dad, the Cruz farm, the barn's right ahead and the house is white to the right, right? And he's like, yeah. I go, I know this is it. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm driving up there. We're going to go see it. He's like, you can't do that. My dad lives in the state of Virginia. I'm like, Dad, do you forget we're in Minnesota? We do this all the time. So he's like, you're crazy. I'm like, okay, whatever, Dad. I'll call you later. And I hung up the phone. And I pull up to the house, and we're getting out of the car, and here comes this guy. He's like, hi, can I help you? I'm like, hi. My name is Jen Cruz. This is the old Cruz farm, right? He's like, it is. I'm like, my grandpa grew up here. This was his farm. And he goes, who was your grandpa? I said, Jack. And he goes, yeah, his name is in the barn. So he took me to show what my grandpa had carved his name in the barn, Jack. And then I said, you know, I specifically remember the house. I haven't been here since I was like five years old maybe, but I remembered the house, and I was telling my sister here all about it. Do you think we could look? And he said, sure. So he brings us over to the house. His wife comes out. He introduces us and says, go show them the house. And so she gives us a tour of the house. And we go upstairs, and I'm like, I'm just so excited to be upstairs to find the little door and the little room, right? And I swore to my sister, it's there. It's there. And she's like, uh-huh. She didn't believe me. So this lady shows us the room, and she shows us the outside, you know, the upstairs. And our tour of the upstairs is done. We're about to walk down the stairs, and I my head is fallen. I'm looking very sad. And I shook my head to my sister, and I said, I must have been wrong. It must have been wrong. And the lady says, what are you talking about? And I said, I could have sworn that there was a little room up here with a miniature door, and it was just a short little, it was a big room, but it was really short, just for kids, and it was filled with toys. It was filled with toys. It was a huge room filled with toys, but it was really short. And she started laughing, and she says, come here. And so we follow her into this bedroom, and it's a tiny little room with a bed in it that takes up almost the whole room. And she goes, come on in. Come all the way in. Go in. And so we're standing there, and she shuts the bedroom door. And behind the bedroom door, there was another little door that was covered up by the door being open. And it was this miniature little door. And it was exactly what I remembered, this tiny little door. I just didn't remember where it was. I knew it was upstairs. And as tiny as she goes, so she opens the door, and there's this huge room in there, but it's only like 3.5 feet tall. And it's not filled with toys anymore, but it is still there.
Jeez.
I was right. I was right.
Wow.
It was such a magical room. Just for kids.
Wow.
But, you know, in Minnesota, people do that. You drive up to your old farm place where, you know, your family lived, and you say, hey, I'm, you know, this was our family farm, and people just give you a tour. They let you in because that's what you do here. That's how it is here, or at least it was. It was. So, yeah.
That's cool.
Anyway.
Yeah. I kind of had that experience in Morganton, North Carolina with my family farm. My family house, it was incredible.
You visited your whole family house?
Yeah, me and my mom went there right before she passed away, and it was unbelievable.
Wow.
So anyway, I'll tell you again, this has been an absolute, unbelievably wonderful experience with you.
Well, thank you, John.
So
I really,
much.
It's an honor for me to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, we really appreciate you. And I know that Kyler and I know that Ryan really appreciate you being here. These are great stories, and they're timeless. And,
Yeah, I'll be bugging her about this later on after the show. I want to know more.
You're welcome to.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get you back on here for our show because this has been wonderful, and I want to thank you so much. So,
thank you guys.
So thank you very much for being with us. And we'll see if we can, there we are. You know how it is when you're trying to like find the show online and everything. But anyway, thank you so much for being here with us, Jen Cruz. You were wonderful, and our hosts were incredible. And we will be back next week for Growing Up Healthy. Thank you. Everybody can say hello.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Take it easy.